God wants to use you the way He made you. God wants to use you the way He made you. And He made every one of you unique. No two of you are alike. You're all different. But God wants to use you the way He made you. And so our sermon series title is, Be Yourself, Submitted to God. Now, if you just be yourself, you're going to be a sinful mess. So you need to be yourself, submitted to God. God wants to use you the way He made you. And He made you unique. There is nobody else like you. Nobody else like you. And one of the worst things you can do in your life is try to be somebody else. Now, you can learn from other people and learn principles and things that you can apply to your life, but you can't be anybody else. You need to be yourself. Several weeks ago, we preached a sermon on that you need to know God, know yourself, and know God's purpose for your life. And you need to know yourself. You need to know who you are and why you are unique, why God wants to use you the way He made you. In fact, a lot of times people will tell me, Lee, you need to work outside of your comfort zone. I don't believe that's true. I believe I need to stretch my comfort zone a little bit, but I don't need to work outside of my comfort zone. Our illustration for our series is a rested rubber band, a relaxed rubber band. Everybody see that? Mind? See that relaxed rubber band? You can stretch it a little bit. In fact, it works better when you do stretch it a little bit. You ever had a rubber band too big? You put it on those envelopes and it's too big. It doesn't do any good at all. So it needs to stretch a little bit. You need to be stretched a little bit. But what happens if I stretch it too much? It breaks. And so that's kind of our illustration for our whole series, to see yourself as a relaxed rubber band. I need to stretch myself a little bit, but I need to be me. Not somebody else. I need to be me. And one of the people who carried uniqueness to the extreme was John the Baptist. I mean, John the Baptist was really unique. The Bible talks about him being like Elijah. And so to some degree he was like Elijah, but he was really strange. As a preacher, many times I try to study from other preachers, especially Bible preachers, and say what made them successful? What things did they do to help them reach people? And John the Baptist broke every rule in the book. I mean, every rule. I don't do it here very much, but if you go somewhere else, if I go somewhere else to preach, one of the things that I'm supposed to do is the very first thing is to make connection with the people. Somehow or another, make connection. I know who you are. I know something about you. I know how you feel, whatever. Since I've been here 30 years, I don't think I need to do that every Sunday. So, but generally, you make connections. And generally, even in the work situation, they tell you if you're going to criticize somebody, you make a sandwich. And you know anything about that? You praise them, and then you criticize them, and then you praise them again. So in getting along with people, there are a lot of little rules you need to know and you need to apply, and almost everybody needs to apply those. John the Baptist didn't apply any of them. I mean, none of them. He didn't say anything good about anybody, I don't think, except Jesus. And he started out that way. I mean, he didn't, if you start out preaching or teaching or making a speech or whatever, you at least try to tell a joke or some kind of way to get connected with the people. They came to John the Baptist and he said, repent. Repent. I mean, right off the bat. And some of the religious leaders came to him and he criticized. I mean, right in front of everybody. And if you're going to get along with people, you praise in public and criticize in private. Right? If you're going to get along with people, you praise in public and criticize in private. John the Baptist didn't know that. I mean, these religious leaders, these great religious leaders, came to him and he told them off right down in front of everybody. And the Bible says they came for baptism. So they were coming to for him to baptize them. And he just said, no, sir, you got to show me some fruit of repentance before I'm going to baptize you. Okay? So what I'm saying is John the Baptist was a unique individual that God used in a great way. And the next statement I want to make is you are a unique individual that God can use in a great way. I want to tell you the 3 points of my sermon because I feel almost like the cowboy that jumped on his horse and went off in all directions. I don't want to spend but 1 week on each person that we're dealing with. And John the Baptist, there is so much I want to say about John the Baptist, so I'm just kind of going to say some stuff. But I want to tell you my 3 main points. By the way, preachers always have 3 main points. Most preachers have 3 points in a poem. I don't like poetry, so I don't have a poem. I just have 3 points. Okay? My 3 main points. I want to tell you that before we start. You can go to sleep. You don't have to put up with the rest of them. You got the main points, okay? John the Baptist knew who he was and who he was not. John the Baptist knew who he was and who he was not. John the Baptist knew what his job was. He knew what God wanted him to do. John the Baptist dedicated his whole life to doing what God wanted him to do. He knew who he was and who he wasn't. He knew what his job was, and he dedicated his whole life to doing what God wanted him to do. Now, I'm going to get somebody else to read the scripture for you. We're going to read a whole chapter. We're going to read Matthew chapter 3. And here's what I want you to look for. 2 or 3 things about John the Baptist. And then we're going to go off on a little tangent. You're on a little sidetrack. Preachers are always going off on a little sidetrack. This has nothing to do with my sermon. Just a little sidetrack I want to mention. But anyway, as you look and listen at the scripture being read from Matthew chapter 3, I want you to look and figure out what was John's message. What was his message? And I want you to look specifically how he treated the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when they came to him. Okay? And the last thing, which is off on a tangent, very, very important, but nothing to do with today's sermon. John the Baptist baptized people into repentance. You had to repent to be baptized. John the Baptist, that's what it was all about. It was a baptism of repentance. But Jesus came to him for baptism. Jesus didn't need to repent. He was perfect. So I want you to look and see if you can figure out from the text, from what you were reading, why was Jesus baptized? Why did Jesus come to John to be baptized by? And that has nothing to do with today's sermon, okay? Nothing. But I want you to notice that as we read. We're going to read Matthew chapter 3, and I'd appreciate it. If you want to look it up in your Bible, you can, but I'd appreciate it if you just look and listen. Bob, would you do that for us?
In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying,
"Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near."
This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert,
"Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him."
John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them,
"You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying,
"I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?"
Jesus replied,
"Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness."
Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased."
Let's get our side note off over with first. Why would Jesus baptize? To fulfill all righteousness. He was not baptized because he needed to repent, but he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And what that means is Jesus was perfect. So he did everything righteous, everything that was the right thing to do. So had he not been baptized, he would not have been all righteous. Right? To fulfill all righteousness means this is one of the right things that I need to do. So Jesus set the example for all of us to be baptized. Now let's get back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, usually if you are a preacher and you're trying to reach people, you need to go where the people are. Right? You need to go where the people are. John the Baptist set up his preaching station out there at the Jordan River, and all those people came to him. I wish the Bible tell us, "How in the world did you get them to come, John? You know, how'd you get all those people to come and listen to you preach?" The Bible doesn't say, but anyway, that's what he did. And when they came, he did not, I like to joke and say, John the Baptist did not read Dale Carnegie's book on how to win friends and influence people. By the way, I think that's one of the greatest books ever written. Fantastic book. Wrote in the 30s, I think. It's old, but the principles, people hadn't changed. A lot of things has changed, but people hadn't changed. It's a great book on how to deal with people. But John the Baptist didn't obey any of those rules. And yet God used him to reach hundreds and hundreds of people. He was a unique individual that God chose to do a particular thing. Now, for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about different people. We talked about Apollos. Then we talked about Andrew. And today we're talking about John the Baptist. And if you took your notes home and studied them, and I'm sure you did. I'm sure every one of you just took those notes home and wrote those, all those answers and everything. But anyway, if you did that for every one of them, I want you to try to write a purpose statement based on what they did. Just assume that they did what they were supposed to do. They did what they intended to do. So look at what they did and try to figure out what is their purpose statement. What would they have written down to say, this is the purpose of my life. This is the purpose of my life. And for Apollos, it would have been fairly easy. He was a scholar, a great speaker, a master of the Old Testament. And he would have used his great speaking ability and his knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures to help Christians and to win people to Christ. Been very simple. Andrew, on the other extreme, was shy and bashful, and the Bible says almost nothing about him. In fact, every time it mentions Andrew, it mentions Andrew 13 times. 6 out of the 13, it explains it's Simon Peter's brother. So it's like, you guys don't know who this is, but this is Simon Peter's brother. And you say, well, I don't know what Andrew did. He didn't preach any sermons. He didn't do anything great or fantastic. So what was his purpose? You see Andrew doing something 3 times. You know what it was every time? Bringing somebody to Jesus. Bringing somebody to Jesus. He brought Peter to Jesus. He brought a little boy to Jesus. And he brought a group of Greeks to Jesus. So if I had to write Andrew's purpose statement here, Andrew would have wrote, my purpose is bring people to Jesus. That's a great thing. How about John the Baptist? What in the world would I write for John the Baptist? John chapter 1 talks about John the Baptist. John chapter 3 talks about John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3 talks about John the Baptist. And if you study his life, if you study what John the Baptist did, you find that John the Baptist brought people to repentance and pointed them to Jesus. He brought them to repentance and pointed them to Jesus. And repentance is a hard message. It just, because if I tell you you need to repent, what does that mean? That means you have done something wrong. And nobody wants to be told they've done something wrong. Nobody. All of us think everybody else do something wrong. But I don't do anything wrong. Everybody else does. So nobody wants to be pointed out, this is what you did wrong. And that's what John's message was. You are a sinner. You need to repent. And the amazing thing is he was effective. I mean, he got the job done. No, people repented. They repented. And they became his followers. They became his followers. And that's it's amazing. It's amazing that he was effective. And yet he was. God blessed his ministry. And he reached hundreds and hundreds of people. So his main point was, his purpose was, bring people to repentance and point them to Jesus. Bring people to repentance and point them to Jesus. And he did that over and over and over and over. Bring people to repentance and point them to Jesus. Now, let me tell you a secret about preachers. Preachers like to have big numbers, okay? They like to have a lot of people in church. And if you don't believe that, you get around a group of preachers and just ask them, how many people do you have in church last Sunday? And every one of them can tell you, just like that. They know immediately. That's important to them. How big their crowd was. Okay? But we're going to find out about John the Baptist, that he gathered all these people to follow him. And then he pointed them, you need to follow Jesus. Not me, you need to follow Jesus. And that takes a commitment to purpose. I mean, I read some of the stories of kings and monarchs and all those people over the years. And they can be 70 or 80 years old, and they'll kill a baby that's born, that's supposed to be the king, they'll kill him. Isn't that what Herod did to Jesus? By the time Jesus got to be old enough to be king, Herod would have been dead anyway. But nope, don't want nobody threatening my power. Don't want nobody threatening my position. But we see John the Baptist was able to say, I know what my purpose is. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. Let me stop, ask you. I want you to remember those 3 points. John knew who he was and who he was not. I don't know how to answer this question with good grammar. Who was he not? He was not the Christ. And that's what he said, I'm not the Christ. He knew who he was, though. He said, I'm the one crying, a voice crying in the wilderness. But I got to make straight the way of the Lord. He knew what his job was. He was to bring people to repentance and point them to Jesus. And he dedicated his whole life to doing that. His whole life to just doing what God had called him to do. And that business of bringing people to repentance, he even talked to some of the leaders, the kings and all those kind of people, that got him in trouble. He lost his head over that. Literally, he lost his head. They cut his head off because he told the king, you got your brother's wife and you're not supposed to have him. You're not supposed to have her. So he dedicated his life to bringing people to repentance and pointing them to Jesus. I think it's John 1:29 says, behold, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what he did. That's what his whole life's purpose was, to do that. I want you to look, if you've got your sheet, come out of the bulletin, in John chapter 3, the second scripture, not the first one, but the second scripture. Can't find my verse. Verse 31 or something like that. Somebody tell me what verse it says. Somebody tell me what verse it says. He must increase, I must decrease. 30. All right, that's the verse I want. He, who is the he? Jesus must increase, I must decrease. Isn't that a great, great way to live? I'm living for Jesus in such a way that I've gathered all these followers around me. I've gathered all these followers around me. And now what I'm going to do is transfer those followers to Jesus. You see, human nature would say, no, I want them to follow me. I'm an important part of God's program. But John realized what his purpose was. His purpose was not to get followers for John the Baptist. His purpose was to get followers for Jesus. And so as he gathered all these followers, he pointed them to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He must increase, I must decrease. He must get more and more important, and I need to just kind of fade away. What Wouldn't that be a great way to live? To live my whole life so that all the glory I got went to Jesus. All the followers I accumulated went to Jesus. I just faded away, and he became more well known. He must increase, and I must decrease. Look at down verse 36, and let me tell you, scholars not sure whether John the Baptist said verse 36 or not. Everybody with me where I am? John chapter 3, verse 36. Some scholars believe that what John the Baptist was saying stopped in verse 30. Some scholars believe that it stopped in verse 36. I'm not sure, but I'm gonna read it as though John said it, okay? We're not sure whether John the Baptist said it or John the Apostle said it. So if I say John said it, I'm right. Right? Okay. We're not sure if John the Baptist said it or John the Apostle wrote it. John wrote the book. So we know John was, the Baptist was speaking through verse 30. We're not sure about verse 30 through verse 31 through 36. The original Greek didn't have quotation marks. There are no quotation marks, so we're not sure. But let me read verse 36 and end our time together on verse 36. John the Baptist may have said this. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. If you had to evaluate it by the last part of the verse, what would your guess be? John the Baptist, that's right. Yes, he was talking about the wrath of God. You must repent. You got to change. And what he says is, he who believes in the Son, who's the Son? Jesus. He who believes in the Son has what? Eternal life. He has it when? Now. He has it. If you believe in Jesus, put your trust in him, repent of your sins, confess him before men, and are baptized in him, you have eternal life starting now. And it's going to get better as you go along. Okay? It's going to get better as you go along, but you have it now. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on him. He will not see life if he doesn't believe in Jesus. What was his whole purpose in life? Bring people to repentance and point them to Jesus. If he did say this verse, what is he saying? It's not whether you believe in me or not, it's whether you believe in Jesus or not. It's whether you believe in Jesus or not. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. If you do not believe in Jesus, you do not obey Jesus, the wrath of God abides on you. Where do you fit? Which group are you in? You believe in Jesus and have eternal life? Or you don't believe in Jesus, you've not obeyed Jesus, and the wrath of God abides on you. John the Baptist's purpose in life was to bring people to repentance and to point them to Jesus. And through me today, we're studying about John the Baptist, so through me, he's still doing that. He's trying to point you to Jesus.